What's up, everybody? This week I'm joined by Sarah as we sit down to talk about one of the worst movies of all time, 1997's Batman and Robin. That and a whole lot more is to come on this week's episode of the 90s Podcast. Welcome to the show. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the 90s Podcast right here on the Because of Your Network. Hope you're doing well today. And I am joined by Sarah Connolly. Sarah.
Hello.
Welcome back. How
Thank
you been?
You. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Apologies. Last week we gave you an extra episode.
Whoopsies.
And we're running a little behind. Like I've said before, being a one-man studio is a pain to deal with. Just trying to get everybody together to do the right thing because Sarah has been extremely busy.
Yes.
And I have been playing Elden Ring and dying a lot.
Severely.
I'm not very good at that game. Yeah, I know.
Whatever. But that's okay, because today we have bat nips.
Yes, we have Batman nipples, Robin nipples, crotches, butts, bat high heel shoes. We are talking about the hilariously bad Batman and Robin from 1997.
Yes.
Oh, my word. Where do we start with this movie?
You can start lots of places because it's really bad. It's so bad it's good, though.
Possibly.
Oh, come on now.
It's certainly
something.
It's something, yeah. And that's all I can say about it. It's something. It exists. It's a waste of celluloid.
It is not a waste of celluloid.
No, it's not. It's not. Especially if we get the Schumacher cut out of it. Because apparently the Schumacher cut is supposed to make everything darker, which... I don't know. But yes, Batman and Robin. So this is the movie that killed comic book movies for DC.
Picture it. 1995.
Yes. Picture it in 1995 as Joel Schumacher,
Akiva Goldman,
and Peter McGregor Scott had just completed Batman Forever, a movie that we spoke about and we thought was okay, but nothing
to write home about.
Nothing to write home about.
Uh-huh.
But it was a commercial success, even
Woo-hoo!
Though it had production issues, you know, studio interference and infighting. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear all about that, go ahead and check out our Batman Forever episode, okay? This film took 18 months to produce instead of 3 years, which, yikes. You can't do a superhero movie in... Now, okay, I know people are saying, well, Marvel do it. Well, Marvels are in pre-production while they're filming the next one.
Yeah, Marvel's a well-oiled machine at this point. But the first few Marvels took forever to come out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And now they got different crews working on different movies and different directors
right.
and different actors, you know. So they can crank out 5 movies in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Warner Brothers, they thought that, you know, the money that was in this movie would be gone if they delayed it by 3 years.
Right.
I don't think so. Batman's always going to draw a crowd.
Well, I mean, even today.
Even today. I haven't seen The Batman yet. Apparently.
I want to go see The Batman.
You're,
no, we can see The Batman.
You're a fan of Pattinson, though, aren't you?
This is the Batman of a killer, Bella. Yes. It's the bat suit of a killer.
Mixed reviews he's gotten. Either he's been told
I haven't seen mixed reviews. I've seen all awesome reviews, actually.
Yeah, but you hang out in Twilight forums, of course.
No, I've seen other. Thank you.
You're about to walk out on me.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. You can disrespect a lot of things in this house. Rob is not one of them.
All right. But anyway,
back to Batman.
I've seen mixed reviews. Some call him the greatest. Some call him, some call him worse than Affleck.
I want to see this review.
Well, I don't have it off the top of my head right now, do I?
I don't think it exists.
Well, fine then.
I think you're talking smack.
I'm not. I sue you.
Okay.
But anyway, Batman's always going to draw a crowd no matter where and what time he plays it. Especially if you hook him up with Boy Wonder.
Yes.
So, yeah, Chris O'Donnell was like, yeah, I'll come back as Robin.
All right.
Val Kilmer was like, nope. He noped out of it. Kilmer claims a scheduling conflict, And Schumacher says that he sort of quit and we sort of fired him. So he wasn't coming back.
Six in one, half a dozen the other.
So who would become Batman, Sarah?
Who? Oh, who would replace him? Well, they looked at William Baldwin and they looked at David Duchovny and they thought about that. But then they realized, oh, no, no, no. That's not who we need to do it. There's one man, the Silver Fox. The Clooney.
The Clooney, yes.
The Clooney wasn't so silver at the time, though.
No, he wasn't.
But he still had the Caesar haircut back then. He was still in ER.
He was still in ER, and this was his first foray into actual movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he was still a TV actor at that point. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine David Duchovny as Batman?
No.
No. No, I can't
Well, no, if Kilmer could do it, Duchovny could do it.
But he was too intertwined in X-Files at that point.
Again.
He was X-Files at that point.
And at that point, Clooney was ER.
True, but I mean, would you say X-Files was more iconic at that point?
Yeah, but okay, here's the thing.
A more rabid in its fan base is probably a better turn of phrase.
Now, here's the thing, right? This movie inadvertently killed a career that nobody talks about.
Okay.
David Caruso.
Okay.
Because Clooney went to movies.
Right.
And then realized he could leave ER.
At any point.
At any point. And then did. And David Caruso was the Clooney of NYPD Blue.
Oh.
And he was like, I'm going to make movies. Yeah.
And he...
He made one movie and it was so bad. And then we didn't see him. Well, we laughed about him on South Park a couple of times as a joke, and then we didn't see him at all until he went on to a CSI Miami, and until he became Mr. Sunglasses. But, yeah, so, but this career, this movie temporarily killed the career of David Caruso.
But he came back, so.
Eventually.
So,
sorry.
No, you're good. You got Batman was easy to cast, really, because if those are your three choices, you go with Clooney. Mm-hmm. I would have gone with Clooney too, but Mr. Freeze was a different beast altogether.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted Mr. Freeze to be intelligent rather than strong.
I mean,
because you can't be strong and intelligent at the same time. I guess you know you've only got to look at The Rock, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to show that you can be smart and you can be, you know. But they wanted Ed Harris,
right.
Patrick Stewart, or Anthony Hopkins to play the role of Mr. Freeze.
I could see Hopkins doing it. I could totes see Hopkins doing it.
What was that movie that he did a few years ago where he killed his wife, but he didn't kill his wife and he defended himself?
I don't remember.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Showed that he was a psychopath.
Who, Hopkins?
Yeah.
Well, we've known he was a psychopath since Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, I know, but he's still got...
The nice Chianti.
He still got it, this is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah.
You know. But they wanted him physically imposing after a couple of rewrites. And so they had three people who they wanted to be. Sylvester Stallone. The Governator. And Hulk Hogan.
God, no.
Brother. Let me tell you something, Batman dude. You know, I just don't think that would not have worked out.
Mm-mm.
So they went with the Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually got the script rewritten specifically for him. And then decided that he needed to be as imposing as he was intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta say, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a very, very intelligent man.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the speech he did just a couple weeks ago about Ukraine.
Yeah.
And Russia. I mean, he's a very intelligent guy.
Well, you know.
But he knows how to play on the accent and the size to make himself look not intelligent when it suits him.
Yeah. And I mean, you want to say if he's intelligent or not, he had the script rewritten specifically for him and made more money than the entire good guys put together.
Yep.
He got $25 million, a cool $25 million for this movie.
$40 million in today's money.
You can't say fairer than that, especially if you can't pronounce your F's or T-H's.
Let's talk about the ladies.
Oh, there was only one choice for each of the role. Alicia Silverstone and Uma Thurman were the only people considered. They wanted to actually not be Poison Ivy, but they wanted to be Femme Fatale for Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
And Alicia Silverstone was still the most popular teen actress at that time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to play a teenage girl in a movie, you get Alicia Silverstone in. So production started 2 weeks later than what was scheduled and wrapped 2 weeks early. So a whole month off production time, and you can tell that if they had that month, they could have polished things a little bit.
Yeah, be aye.
So this movie was made by Warner Brothers, distributed by Warner Brothers. It was released on June 20th, 1997. Made $238 million at the box office with a profit of $78.2 million, but a critical rating of 22 out of 100. Now, if you don't know, if you're new to the podcast, my critical rating is you take IMDb score, you take Rotten Tomatoes two scores, you add them up, you divide them by three, bang, that's your score right there.
And this score, Batman has a 99 certified fresh. I'm just saying. There's somebody who said there was a bed. Let's talk about the cast for Batman and Robin.
Let's please talk about the cast for Batman and Robin.
So we've got Clooney as Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
We've got Chris O'Donnell as Robin and Dick Grayson.
Correct.
Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl and Barbara Wilson. Excuse me. Right. Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze and Dr. Fries.
Dr. Freeze.
Freeze.
Victor Freeze. See, Freeze. Get it? Mr.
Yeah.
Freeze.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he call himself Dr. Freeze because he went through all that schooling to call himself Mr.?
Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy / Dr. Pamela Eiley. And Robert Swenson and Michael Reed McKay as Bane and Antonio Diego.
Yeah, I forgot Bane was in this movie.
Yeah, so did I. It'll be aye.
Well, it's not the Bane that we remember from Batman, you know.
Nolan's Batman.
Yeah. No. Well, he was the most evil man on the planet. This is a brain-dead buffoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's just hired help, for lack of a better term.
And then some notable names that are supporting cast. I didn't realize that Vivica A. Fox, or I had forgotten that Vivica A. Fox was in here.
Yeah, she's in here.
And then there were some cameos by...
Coolio.
Yeah. Senator Patrick Leahy and Jesse Ventura.
So you got Hulk Hogan and Jesse Ventura.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Oh, and Elle Macpherson was in here. I forgot about that, too.
Yeah, she played Bruce Wayne's date.
Yeah. Okay.
But the one that stands out here is Patrick Leahy.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
How did...
It happens sometimes.
Playing himself, too.
Right.
So let's begin with what is this movie? What is this movie all about? What is the plot? Yes, this movie has a plot. It's a very bad plot, so strap yourself in, everybody.
Just tell us the plot, John.
Well, you in a hurry or something?
No, I'm just messing with you. There's a plot.
You gotta go. Yeah, you can brew or something.
I gotta go watch The Batman. No, I'm kidding.
Alrighty. Anyway.
Yes.
So the film begins with Batman and Robin leaving the Batcave.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a problem I got with that already.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hit me.
Batman is secret.
Yes.
His identity is kept a secret.
Mm-hmm.
That was my microphone. His identity is kept a secret to protect the people he loves, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did he build the Batcave?
How did this Batman build the Batcave?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Nolan's Batcave was explained.
It was natural caverns.
I mean, I'm assuming that this one had some natural cavern-esque stuff, too.
You say that, but it's got bat embellishes, and it's a mile-long tunnel of super smooth carpeted paved road. He hired a construction company, and then when they were done, he got Alfred to kill him. That's what I'm going with.
I'll take it.
I'm sticking to it, that story. Because Batman doesn't kill anybody, but Alfred.
Mm-hmm. Alfred will take somebody out.
Yeah. Did you know that Alfred once had his turkey called dry and then took up Batman's parents because of it? Yeah. Anyway, Batman receives a call from James Gordon, who's not played by Sirius Black at this movie. Mm-hmm. A new villain called Mr. Freeze is wreaking havoc at the Gotham Museum. Multiple security open fire on him, but he freezes them with his freeze gun.
Mm-hmm.
His minions hold down another security guard who just turned to ice. But Batman and Robin arrive at the museum to try and stop Mr. Freeze attempting to steal a valuable diamond.
Ooh!
Yes. Meanwhile, Freeze tells his minions to wipe out the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Batman and Robin boots turn into ice.
Batman and Batman and Robin's boots turn into ice skates, and the heroes play a game of ice hockey.
With the...
Uh-huh. Upon getting the diamond, Mr. Freeze uses his freeze cannon to turn a dinosaur sculpture into ice before collapsing it. He then blasts off in his rocket. Batman tries to defeat the villain while Robin uses suction cups to stick on the rocket's walls, because who needs oxygen? Mr. Freeze traps Batman by using his freeze gun and escapes the rocket. Robin uses his laser to rescue Batman as the heroes blow up the rocket with a bomb. The heroes retrieve the diamond as Mr. Freeze freezes a section of Gotham City structures. Batman and Robin chase the villain in the blizzard, going through some vault doors. Mr. Freeze uses his freeze gun to freeze Robin and takes the diamond with him. Splat! Pow!
Yes. Wow.
Yes.
That's the first 10 minutes of the movie right there.
Mm-hmm. And then we go to South America.
Well, hang on a minute. Before we go to South America, let's talk about a couple of things for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Because there's going to be a lot of pauses when we talk about things. Because, uh-huh. First start, their boots turn into ice skates.
Yes. Why not, John?
Why?
Why not? If I had billions of dollars...
You'd have bat shoes for every occasion.
If I had bat shoes... You better freaking believe I could click a button and them bad boys would turn from everything to ice skates to freaking Christian Louboutins to whatever the heck I wanted them to turn into.
Okay. Then there's the freeze gun, yes. Which operates super conveniently.
Yes, of course it does. That's what the script says.
I understand that's what the script says, but like he freezes the entire Gotham Police Department with one blast of his ray, and then takes 10 seconds of his ray to put Batman in handcuffs.
Okay, I understand that, but you have to realize, let's back up. Mid-90s Batman's before Nolan were not meant to be realistic at all.
Oh, I understand that.
All of these Batmans were like a play on a modern version of Adam West, Splat, Pow, Smack Batman.
Yes.
And were made for 10-year-olds.
I got that.
They were made to sell toys in McDonald's Happy Meals.
Yeah, I get that.
Having said that, I want some of them shoes. I'm just saying.
Oh, my word.
So my God. The ability to have a utility belt?
I understand this movie was made for a younger audience, but at the same time, you don't insult the intelligence of the people that you were there. You gotta have a suspension of disbelief, and I get that. That you have to suspend your disbelief to believe that a billionaire playboy would save the world with a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
But they're suspending your disbelief, and then there's this.
Right. I know I keep bringing this movie up, and y'all are probably getting tired of it, but whatever. It was either Clooney or Michael Keaton got a hold of Pattinson when they found out that Pattinson was going to be Batman, and they were designing a suit, and they said, whatever you do, make sure that they put a design in there where you can go pee. Because the other suits did not have that for movies number one, and it didn't, and unless you got a sequel, your suit didn't, and you could request it as part of your contract, your suit didn't come with a pee flap.
Oh, wow. Well, Clooney could move his neck, though. His Batman's seat was so rigid that literally every time he had to turn his head, his whole shoulders would move.
Yes, I know.
So anyway, we go to South America, where Dr. Pamela Isley is working under Dr. Jason Woodrow, experimenting with a venom drug. She witnesses Woodrow use the former to turn Antonio Diego, a diminutive serial convict, into the hulking monstrosity dubbed Bane.
Ooh.
Woodrow and Isley argue over the use of the drugs, and Woodrow kills her by pushing her backwards into a bench of various steroids and toxins. Okay. I like that. He's why I like it. One thing this movie did do, I'll give it a little bit of credit right now. It shows the backstory,
yes,
of both the villains,
yes,
and what their plans are very early on in the movie.
You know, Gotham would have a lot less problems if they had more stringent OSHA, OSHA regulations.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But her remains seemingly melt into the ground. Shortly afterwards, she rises from the wreckage and transforms into a beautiful and seductive poison ivy in front of Woodrow before killing him with a poisonous kiss. Ivy discovers that Woodrow is funded by Wayne Enterprises, so she takes Bane with her to Gotham in order for her to act as her personal bodyguard while she attempts to use her plans to take over Gotham.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Do you know how long it takes to grow flowers?
I mean, apparently it doesn't take long if you're this chick.
To cover a whole city in.
And she can bippity-boppity-boom into existence.
Yeah. Oh. You can tell how much I like this movie.
It's magic.
It's magical. It's...
It's like... It's a that's paddling. Paddling. No, it's like the, what are the... Oh, in the first Harry Potter movie. The,
The Mandrakes?
No, the vines.
The vines?
What are they? What are they?
I can't remember.
Oh, the,
Anyway.
They grow fast.
Yes.
Bamboo grows remarkably fast.
True, but I mean,
they use it for torture.
Yeah, but yeah. You can't use bamboo to cover an entire city.
Bamboo leaves.
Yeah, true. But meanwhile, Alfred's niece, Barbara Wilson, makes a surprise visit and is invited by Bruce to stay at Wayne Manor until she goes back to school. One thing that they've did with Alfred is they cast an English actor. Alicia Silverstone's English accent is horrible. And she loses it at the midpoint of the movie, if you notice.
Yeah, they just stop trying. Yeah, it's most amusing. It's sort of like, you know, on Trainspotting, but it's like Trainspotting in reverse. Like, right. In the movie, like, it was their accents were slightly neutral, and then as the movie went on, they got more and more Scottish, whereas hers, like, she starts English, and as the movie gets on,
she's
just
back to America. Yeah. It's like, you know.
It's great.
You know.
Like, see, you know, she's like, as if, at the no, she's not. Okay, so... Elsewhere, it is revealed that Mr. Freeze's wife was stricken with a mysterious disease, McGregor syndrome, which he's trying to find a cure for. Alfred also becomes ill with the first stage of McGregor syndrome and appears to be dying from the disease.
Okay, well, I'm glad at this point they made up a disease.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the movie, you'll see.
Yeah.
But you know, it's knowing them, they would have said they had a cure for plague or something, you know. But it does show
these days nobody take it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, polio's back.
You know how many times over the years we've used that expression, avoid that like the plague. We can't say that anymore because we didn't freaking do that. No, we didn't avoid nothing like the plague.
Run head on like the plague.
Anyhow.
Okay.
So, Wayne Enterprises presents a new telescope to the Gotham Observatory at a press conference, but is interrupted by Eily. She proposes a project that could help the environment, but Bruce declines her offer, as it would kill millions of people.
I mean, that's one way to save the planet. Kill everybody.
It's a very Thanos thing to do, yes.
It is inevitable.
Right? And that night, a charity event is held by Wayne Enterprises to lure Freeze out with special guests, Batman and Robin. Ivy decides to use her abilities to seduce them. Freeze crashes a party and attempts to steal a diamond from the event. However, he is captured and sent to a chamber prison in Arkham Asylum, but escapes with the help of Ivy and Bane.
So, let's talk about the party.
Okay.
Let's talk about the charity event.
Ain't no party like a Bruce Wayne party, because a Bruce Wayne party don't stop.
No, it doesn't stop. Okay. There's an auction in this.
An auction?
An auction. Auction. There's an auction, right, where they're selling off a date with a random Bond girl mm-hmm. dressed up like flowers and, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the kind of thing, mm-hmm. That, mm-hmm. right? The people bid on different people and they're outbidding each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
And then they have the Bat credit card.
They were actually marketing the crap out of that stateside afterward.
Yes.
You could get Bat Visa.
Yeah, never leave the cave without it.
Right? Yeah. But not mum.
No, he actually said that.
Mm-hmm.
And with the kung fu sound effect. Cha-ching! You know. Mm-hmm. It just... oh.
Yeah.
My word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean... how they capture him is unbelievable, too, but I guess... I don't know.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people missing from the production of this movie. Like a competent writer, for a start.
Script supervisors are a thing, people.
Yeah, especially if someone like Joel Schumacher, you should have known better.
Oh, yeah. So Batman and Robin begin to have crime-fighting relationship problems. Womp, womp, womp.
Say it ain't so.
Because of the presence of Ivy's seductive ability with Robin, Ivy is then able to contact Robin once more using a modified bat signal, but fails to seduce him. Robin becomes trapped, but rescued by Batman. Meanwhile, Batgirl arrives, bum-ba-da-bum, and fights Ivy, eventually beating her by trapping her in her own plants. In the meantime, while Freeze and Bane flee, Batgirl reveals that she is Barbara and knows the location of the Batcave.
Now, let me jump in real quick because it's missing a couple of segments. They find out that Alfred has the McGregor syndrome. And he leaves a disc for Barbara to open.
Right.
And that's where she finds out the location of the Batcave and everything like that.
Right.
This is after she risks her life. Going on a street race. That's where Coolio shows up. Going on a street race, betting the money that she owed. Coolio would have been better as Mr. Freeze's partner. The cool
part. Fantastic pun. Slide, slippity slide. See, they could have played that while on the bat skates.
There
slide,
you go.
Slide, slippity slide.
So Alfred has already. He did not know that his niece was coming. And within 3 days, he's stricken down by a disease that could kill him. But in that 3 days,
he
managed to get her measurements, make a CD, program his brain algorithms into the bat computer.
I mean, Alfred's the bomb, but dang.
Alfred works quick and keeping that mansion spick and span.
He's a one-man shop.
They decide that the dynamic trio, it can't be dynamic trio, it would have to be the triumphant trio or something like that. The triumphant trio decide to go after Freeze and Bane together. By the time they get to the observatory where Freeze and Bane are, Gotham is completely frozen. Robin and Batgirl confront Bane and defeat him when they manage to pull up Bane's main venom supply tube, causing him to have withdrawal and go back to his normal state.
So you tell me all somebody had to do was just unplug him?
Yeah.
Go through withdrawal.
That's what it says.
Like the man's... never mind.
They're mainlining poison plant into him. I can't.
So he's a big, bulking meth head?
Pretty much.
Okay, cool.
Oh! Yeah, we didn't cover this part. This is coming up right now in this paragraph. So, Freeze's wife has got McGregor syndrome. She's on stage 4, I think it is. While Poison Ivy, when she releases Freeze from prison, also murders his wife by turning off her life support.
Well, that was lovely of her.
There's a murder in a Batman movie, Sarah.
Yeah, that's pretty jacked up. And it was somebody on hospice, too. That's really jacked up. Dang, Uma Thurman, man. She's... don't mess with Uma Thurman.
So, Batman and Freeze begin to fight each other with the pow, kasplat, and dams showing up.
Right.
Batman win in a cliffhanger battle. Freeze tries to kill Batman by destroying the telescope platform, but only succeeds in crushing the weakened Bane. Two murders in a Batman movie. Batgirl and Robin unfreeze Gotham, and Batman shows Freeze a recording of Ivy revealing that she killed Nora during her fight with Batgirl. See, there's another bit to this plot point missed out, which I should have put in there. Ivy tries to seduce Robin again, and this time she's eaten by her own plants. That's how she gets
unalived. Yes, as the kids say these days.
No, she actually survives, which we'll get to here in a minute.
So Freeze learns that Ivy has betrayed him over the death of his wife. Ivy had blamed Batman for Nora's death, but she informs Batgirl that it was her idea. Freeze is angered by the betrayal. Well, no, she isn't it. And is informed by Batman that his wife is not dead. She is restored in cryogenic slumber. And we move to Arkham, waiting for him to finish his research. Batman proceeds to ask Freeze for the cure he has created for the first stage of McGregor syndrome. He claims that anyone can take a life, and that was not power, but to be able to preserve life was true power. Power Freeze once had as a doctor. Freeze atones for his misunderstanding by giving him the experimental medicine he had developed. The arms of
Telling me he spent millions of dollars on
Freeze rays
and destroying the city and researching for his wife to just give it away.
Please, sir, look deep inside. And you too, for the low, low cost of one stage one cure, can support an elderly British super butler. Okay.
Later on, in Arkham, a depressed and disheveled Poison Ivy is shown imprisoned with a cold beam when Freeze walks in and announces he will make life a living hell of winter for trying to kill his wife and deceiving him.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Batman then gives Alfred drugs on the whim of a supervillain, told him it was okay.
Yeah, but it works.
It works, and Alfred realizes they're going to need a bigger cave, which they don't really because that place is massive.
Yes. We're going to need a bigger boat.
And then, like Batman Forever, the final shot of the movie is them running towards the screen in front of the bat signal. That right there, ladies and germs,
is bat naps. Is,
yeah. The bat outfits had nipples on them. They put a bra on Alicia Silverstone's one. So you had bat cleavage. She wore Batman-themed leather high-heeled boots.
Yes.
Because obviously you can do all that karate expert stuff.
Well, Uncle Alfred designed it.
Uncle Alfred designed a second suit, too, with special ice freezing and... Because he knew that there was going to be an ice mission coming up and she needed to dress appropriately for that. My word. That was one of the worst plots of a movie I've ever seen in my life, and I
apparently
saw,
Uncle Alfred is actually Albus Dumbledore, but go ahead.
And I saw a movie called Equilibrium with Christian Bale, and that movie didn't make any sense. And Sean Bean. Guess what happened in the first 5 minutes of that movie? The Sean Bean. You'll never guess.
He died. Yeah.
Swear they should make an end of the world movie with Sean Bean as the only survivor. Okay, let's look behind the camera real quick and we'll bring this home.
Okay.
Uma Thurman, to be fair, she did a good job.
Yeah.
She really did. She same level as Raul Julia in Street Fighter and Jim Carrey in Sonic the Hedgehog pulled a great acting performance.
They're back out carrying that movie.
Yeah, definitely. But ironically, she lost two awards to Alicia Silverstone. Kids' Choice for Best Actress and the Razzie's Worst Supporting Actress. That's unfair. That is unfair. She didn't deserve to be a Razzie. That
Well, a lot of Silverstone scenes were cut due to wardrobe issues.
Really?
Yeah, Silverstone gained a small amount of weight, which caused her bat suit to have to be rebuilt. And she was panned by the paparazzi due to this. The cast and crew, particularly Schumacher, really stood up for her due to her age and the issue of a teenager gaining weight.
You didn't read the note properly there. She wasn't panned by the paparazzi. She was panned by the scum.
Because
that's what they are.
Yes.
But in spite of the awfulness of this film, George Clooney and Uma Thurman do not regret taking part. In fact, Clooney cites this as launched his film career, even though he's personally given refunds for this movie to people who've asked him for it. George, can you pay my Netflix subscription for this one, please?
Right.
But Uma Thurman loved the creative freedom that, you know, that she was given. So there was some positives to come out of it, you know.
Yeah, she had to work on a big film that Weinstein wasn't involved in at the time, so that was always a good thing.
Or Tarantino.
Right? So
if Tarantino and Uma Thurman split up, who gets custody of Samuel L. Jackson?
Samuel L. Jackson can take care of himself.
Okay, well, Hulk Hogan, we mentioned earlier, was third choice to play Mr. Freeze, right? But Jeep Swenson, who played Bane, would be in the film. And they had a wrestling rivalry in 1996.
Huh.
So, do you know what his character's name was? The Ultimate Solution. What a wonderful, wonderful name, WCW.
Do you know that this film featured two governors and a sitting U.S. senator?
We got the sitting senator.
Right, but it also, as we talked about earlier, had Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
Which is ironically the third time that they had starred together.
Really?
Yes. According to your notes.
According to my notes is the third time. I just can't. I'm trying to figure out. I wrote these notes a year and a half ago, mind you.
Okay.
The actors hated the movie, and they hated the idea they were making a live-action cartoon. Chris O'Donnell particularly hated it. Schwarzenegger made over 25 ice puns throughout the movie.
I don't know of anything O'Donnell really did afterward. I think, I don't know if that movie he did with Drew Barrymore was after the, before or afterward.
Which one?
Mad Love, I think. Anyway.
Afterward.
But beyond that, I mean, this was his last big action.
Well, he transitioned to TV acting.
Okay.
He did a lot of TV roles. But the problem is his acting career in the big screen was over before this came out.
Yeah.
Not cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. But he did a Daredevil movie that panned, and that was the end of him. But I can't remember the name of it. But, I mean, look. Bad script, illogical storyline, shallow characters, over-the-top acting. I mean, Schwarzenegger went completely and utterly over the top. Almost Jim Carrey-esque. This movie gets a negative 10 out of 10 for me. A perfect bad movie.
I'll give it a 3.
You'll give it a 3, look.
Bad nips.
Awful cast, awful script, awful story, awful cameo, and showing once again that DC cannot make a movie to save their life.
At that time.
Well, they've only made 3 good movies. The Nolan Batman series.
The Batman.
I haven't seen it, so I can't judge it.
It's got a high rating on everything.
Okay.
Just saying.
Still haven't seen it to make my own mind up.
That first Superman movie was good. The first Superman reboot.
Yeah.
I really liked that
one. I liked that one.
The one that had the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't they follow that back up?
No idea.
That was really good.
I like that movie. I like
it. I haven't seen any of Cavill's Superman. Nor have I seen Aquaman. I wouldn't mind watching Aquaman. I mean, I'm going to just let you know.
He has a name. He's not just eye candy, you know. Eyes up here.
Yes, it's Jason Momoa. Thank you. Okay, so this is considered the worst comic book movie of all time.
Yes.
It's actually considered one of the most movies of all time.
Definitely.
Batman would remain off the screen for close to 7 years and return with a more realistic world.
Yeah, I mean, this actually is responsible for the death of almost responsible for the death of comic book movies, but in an ironic twist of fate, the rebirth of comic book movies.
Yes.
Because Marvel Studios realized
They couldn't be campy with anything. I mean, before then, there was Howard the frickin' Duck from Marvel. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well, they did have Blade, but still. I mean, they didn't really... Yeah. No,
they realized that they needed a more realistic standard of presentation, the characters who were available, writing stories that were better, and hiring the best actors that they could available. I mean, the original X-Men trilogy and the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man proves that as a good example.
You know?
And I mean, they nailed the actors with their modern series.
Yes.
With the exception of the first Hulk, because I don't think Ed Norton was a good fit for the Hulk.
Yeah.
So, but this was the final campy it's the final campy action book movie, comic book movie until the Peacemaker came out.
We have to finish the Peacemaker. No, we don't.
Ironically, with the exception of Chris O'Donnell, this launched careers and nobody lost anything.
Nope. So everybody did pretty good.
What is your opinion of this Batman movie?
I said I gave it a 3 for Batnibs.
Not you. I know your opinion.
Oh, you're talking about the people who are listening. Hi, people who are listening. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What is your opinion? Tell us.
Tell us.
Let us know.
We have social media pages. Tell us on there. Okay, send us an email, becausemaybepodcast@gmail.com.
Send us a bat signal.
Send us a bat signal, yes.
Batnibs.
As you can tell, we're tired. We're at the end of our rope.
We're very tired. It's been a day. It's been a month.
It has. So if you're listening to this, we're dropping this around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to go ahead and wrap up now. We're dropping this at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Tonight, join me on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/adadstreamer, where we play Space Colony for a little while.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and as I mentioned on Extra, I'm transitioning all of Adad Streamer over to the Twitch channel because that's better designed for streaming as opposed to the YouTube channel. All of our streams will be uploaded to YouTube, however, so cool keep an eye out for that. This is our season finale.
Okay.
So I'm glad you all listened up for us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to all 9 episodes this season. We'll be back with season 9 in the summer. And I've got the perfect episode and the perfect date to start the season. Yes.
You guys are so awesome.
You guys are awesome. And if it sounds like we're being cynical tonight,
We're just tired.
And we have to get this out the door. But we appreciate you. Yeah, we really do.
So much.
I mean, you guys... Seriously. You guys make it all worthwhile. And...
You make the rock and roll go round.
You make the rock and roll go round. Just like Fat Bottom Girls.
Yes.
So, just remember, go get your shots.
Yes.
Wear a mask.
Yes.
Be nice to people.
Yes.
Tell people they're pretty.
Yes. Get your polio vaccine.
I broke another pan.
Bye.
And on that note, I'm getting out of here. Everybody have a great, great time. We will see you in the summer. And... we'll talk to you soon. Go to our social media pages. Keep your eye out to see what projects we've got going on. We're probably going to do another 90s game soon. We've got the Dog Ate My Homework series, and we're transitioning Dead Streamer to Twitch. So, yeah, we got a lot going on. So, we will see you in the summer with the 90s podcast. But until then, take it easy, everybody.
Peace out, G homies.
Bye.
Let's do it.
It's Batnips.
I didn't record when that happened, so that's going on the end.